Well, the Betts side of our family was together for Thanksgiving. All my Colorado buddies were out shooting elk and deer. We were shooting clay pigeons and targets. We talked about God's blessings upon us. We talked about the rich heritage, Christian heritage that we have. And we talked about those who don't know Christ and how we should be loving them. We talked about how they don't have a biblical foundation for their life or for their actions. We can't really expect them to live much differently than they do, or to have a different perspective than they have, because they don't have Christ. We talked about our founding fathers and about their commitment to God and the Bible and how God has blessed America. Life in America is so different from the lives of, like, those in Haiti and many other parts of the country, where they're wondering if they're going to have enough food to eat while we're worrying about eating too much food. I heard about a little Thanksgiving blessing. May your stuffing be tasty. May your turkey be plump. May your potatoes and gravy have nary a lump. May your yams be delicious. May your pies take the prize. And may your Thanksgiving dinner stay off of your thighs. We have such a different life than so many. We're incredibly blessed with food on the table, clothes on our back, a home to live in. And yet so many, even in our country, are clamoring for more, demanding their rights, seeking their own, feeling entitled. You know, it's really one of the signs of the times. I'm going to read a verse from 2 Timothy 3. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. That word perilous could be translated savage. But know this, in the last days, savage times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Now catch this, ungrateful. Ungrateful. Goes on, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. But one of the signs of the times is ingratitude. People just aren't grateful. It's amazing to me that the day after we supposedly have this day set aside to just be thankful that God has provided all we need, we have a Black Friday where we go to try to get more, and a Cyber Monday where you can get more that you didn't get on Black Friday. Contentment is lacking. Gratitude is gone. I have a little asterisk by verse 1, where it says, in the last days, savage times will come. People will be lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, lovers of self, rather than lovers of God. And at the bottom of my Bible, it says, for further details, see your local news. That's our world. That's our world. And God calls us to thanksgiving. So turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 100. We're going to look at this simple little psalm. I want this to be just like we're gathered together. Let's imagine we're in a living room. Instead of sitting in chairs, you're in a couch or recliner. We got the fire going. There may be a bowl of popcorn or some chips and dip. And we're just together as a family. And we're going to look at Psalm 100. And there's two stanzas. The first stanza tells us what to do and why to do it. And the second stanza tells us what to do and why to do it. Very simple. So the first stanza, listen carefully to verses 1 and 2. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with joyful singing. Now I have got a question for you. Are those suggestions Or are those commands? Commands, that's right. They're commands. What's the first thing that he tells us to do? Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. This is a shout of triumph. This is a shout of applause. This is a shout of exultation. And it can be done with your voice. It can be done with an instrument. It can be done with a sacrifice. But we shout to the Lord. It's a shout to our personal Lord, our Savior. Shout to the Lord, Yahweh, our personal covenant-keeping God, our personal shepherd. That's the idea that we have in the word Lord. He's ours. He's our Savior. He's our shepherd. He's our personal covenant-keeping, promise-keeping Lord. And notice, shout to the Lord, all the earth. This is not a call to a limited number. This is not a call to a certain race. This is not a call to a certain gender. This is a call to all people of all races, of all genders, of all times, to shout in exultation and praise to the Lord. It's not a call to confusion or clamor or chaos. It's a call to honor, to exultation, to thanksgiving. If one of the signs of the times is being unthankful, ungrateful, this is counteracting that we should be shouting to the Lord. And what's the second thing we're to do? Serve the Lord with gladness. To serve the Lord. This is a call to work for the Lord, a call to be obedient to the Lord, a call to carry out the desires of the Lord, a call to obey the commands of the Lord, a call to perform the duties that God has for us to do. We are to serve Him. So many people are content. That's supposed to be one syllable there. Content to serve themselves. We're to serve the Lord. And you know, Jesus gave us such an incredible example. He left the glory and praise and applause of heaven to come to earth, and he said, I didn't come here to be served. I came here to serve and to give my life. And he gave a beautiful picture of that when he got on his feet, got on his knees to wash the feet of the disciples. He came to serve. We're to serve the Lord. This is, notice, it's not a call to serve the church or serve the elders or serve the pastor. It's a call to serve the Lord. And we serve Him by serving others. It's a call to serve the Lord. How? With gladness. Not with grumbling or grudging or guilt. With cheerfulness, with pleasure, with joy. Serve the Lord with gladness. It should be a joy for us to serve the Lord. It's a privilege for us to serve the Lord. It's an honor for us to be His ambassadors. And this gladness would be reflected in our heart and our eyes and in our soul and in our life. We serve the Lord with gladness. You know, repentant rebels in Psalm 2 are required to serve in fear and worship and trembling. But submissive servants are invited to serve in gladness and worship in joy. We can serve gladly. We can worship in joy. What's the third thing we're told to do? Come into His presence with joyful singing. So shout to the Lord. That has to do with our works. Our words, I mean. Serve the Lord. That has to do with our work. And now, come into His presence with joyful singing. That has to do with our worship. Notice, come into His presence. Come before Him. We're being commanded to come before God, to come into His presence, to come before Him face to face. Do you realize what an amazing privilege it is for us to come before God, to come into His presence, to meet with Him? I think of Moses. And back in Exodus, around verse chapter 33, it talks about how Moses met with the Lord face to face as a man meets with his friend. And then you go a little further in that chapter and it says, and Moses is saying, Lord, I want to know you better. He's daily meeting with him face to face and he says, I want to know you better. I want to know you more. Show me your glory. He had a passion for intimacy with the Almighty. Do you have that passion for intimacy with the Almighty? You have the opportunity, I have the opportunity to come before Him, to come into His presence, and I'm to come into His presence, and I do that because this is a privilege that has been provided by God. We don't come before Him in our own right. This opportunity, this privilege, has been purchased for us through the blood of Christ. And so we can come boldly before Him because of Jesus Christ. He has paved the way for us with His blood to come boldly before the throne of God. And notice how we're to come. We're to come before the Lord with joyful singing. Now, joy comes from the inside out. Real joy. Happiness can come from the outside through happenings. That's happiness. But real joy comes from the inside out. It begins in the heart and the soul, and it affects the eyes, and it affects the face, and it affects the countenance, it affects the attitudes, it affects our actions, it affects our character and our conduct. Joy, it results in joyful expressions, and one of those expressions is singing. And there's something I want you to notice about music that some people, for some reason, seem to miss. Some people think music is only directed to God. Some people seem to think music is only a performance for others. But in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about being filled with the Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit fill our lives and control our lives. And it says one of the outcomes of being controlled and filled with the Spirit is singing and teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's horizontal to one another. It's teaching one another, singing to one another, teaching one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And then there's a vertical. Singing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. That's a horizontal. You see, godly music, spirit-filled music, has both planes. It's both ministering to one another and ministering to God. Singing to one another and singing to God. And we should do it with great joy. Great joy. God wants us to express our gratitude in joyful singing. So the psalmist has told us what to do. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before the Lord with joyful singing. Now, having told us what to do, he tells us why we should do that. And it's because he's God. We do these, we shout and we come and we sing because he's God. Look at verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We should know who the Lord is. We should know his uniqueness. He is God. He alone is God. He is the only God. Don't be confused by someone who might suggest that Buddha is God or Confucius is God or Allah is God or somebody else is God. There's only one God. The Lord, he is God. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is God. So his uniqueness, knowing who the Lord is. Secondly, knowing who we are. We're his creation. We're his creation. He created us. He created man, placed man upon the earth. And then he knits us together in the womb. I was knitted together in my mother's womb. You were knitted together in your mother's womb by God. He made you. He is God. He made you. Secondly, knowing whose we are. We are His people. We're His people. We belong to Him. I love that. I belong to God. I'm His. Purchased with a price, the precious blood of Christ. And knowing who cares for us, we are His sheep. And He cares for us. As a shepherd, He leads us, He guides us, He guards us, He feeds us, He carries for us. He goes after us when we stray. He binds us when we're broken. He cares for you. So we shout to the Lord, all of us. We come into His presence with joyful singing. We serve Him with gladness because He is God. He made us. We belong to Him and He cares for us. Now we come to the second stanza. Listen carefully to verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. There are two couplets here. Entering His courts and His gates, blessing Him and being thankful to Him. Those are the two couplets. So let's look at the first one. Entering His gates with thanksgiving, entering His courts with praise. This is the first couplet. These are parallel concepts. Entering His courts with thanksgiving is the same concept as entering His gates with praise. But the first talks about entering His courts with with thanksgiving. And the word here for thanksgiving is a term that is sometimes used of a thank offering. And we should be grateful for entrance. We should be grateful for this access. I think of Romans 5:1. Having been justified by grace, having been justified by faith, we now have access to God. And we should be thankful for that access. What a privilege to enter into the presence of God. And it was that entrance has been provided by God's grace, and it has been paid for by Christ's blood. We're entering His courts with praise. And we can enter His courts if we have sin in our life. We can enter His courts to get forgiveness with a peace offering for acceptance. Or if our sins have been confessed, we can enter with thanksgiving, with a praise offering in adoration of Him. He accepts us and we adore Him. We enter His gates with thanksgiving. We enter His courts with praise. Then the next couplet talks about giving thanks to Him and blessing His name. This is giving thanks to the Lord for what He has done. What has God done for you? I trust that this week you took some time to think about that. Maybe around your Thanksgiving meal or that afternoon. You took some time just to go around and talk about what is something you're thankful for? What has God done that you're thankful for? He's redeemed you from sin, maybe. Maybe He's adopted you into His family. Maybe He's given you hope. Maybe He's given you life. Maybe He's given you assurance. Maybe He's given you peace. Whatever it is, for the things He has done. But then we're also to bless His name. So we not only give thanks for what God has done, we praise Him for who He is. We praise the Lord for who He is. And then you can just think about the character of God. Who is He? He's loving. He's gracious. He's holy. He's faithful. He's sovereign. He's merciful. He's kind. And so we not only give thanks for what He has done, we praise Him for who He is. We just honor Him. We exalt Him. We worship Him. The word for bless actually has the idea of to kneel, to bow down, to praise, to esteem, to honor. And one of the ways you honor someone, you bow to them. You bow down to them. I think of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. We're to worship him in awe and wonder and praise. And why do we do this? Why do we enter his courts with gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise? Why do we give thanks to him and bless his name? Because he is good. Verse 5. For the Lord is good. Enter his gates of thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise, be thankful, bless him, because the Lord is good, because his mercy is everlasting, because his truth endures to all generations. First of all, he says, the Lord is good. He talks about his goodness. Good. He blesses. He is not some kind of supernatural bully or cosmic killjoy. He's not up in heaven looking over the balcony trying to find someone who's having fun and saying, hey, cut that out. He came that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly. We have such a false idea of God being some kind of celestial Scrooge, but he knows what is best for us and he wants what is best for us. His commands are for our good. So the Lord is good. This is an essential fact about his goodness. Secondly, his loyal love is eternal. This is talking about his loving kindness, but he calls it his loyal love. He's absolutely loyal and he's absolutely loving. His love is unconditional, but he's absolutely loyal. He keeps his promises. He's graciously loving. He's tenderly compassionate. Then he says his truthfulness is to all generations. He's talking here about his faithfulness. So he talks about his goodness, his loving kindness, and his faithfulness. Truthfulness means, the word here means to confirm or support, to uphold, to be established. And at the heart of this term is certainty. Our God is dependable. You can count on him to do what he says he will do. He is who he says he is. He will do what he says he will do. He is faithful, totally dependable. I love the way Jeremiah put it. So practical at a time when actually, his heart was broken because of the direction his country had gone. And Jeremiah says, this I recall to mind, and that's why I have hope that the Lord's mercies are not burned up or consumed, because his compassion, his tenderheartedness never fails. In fact, Jeremiah says, every morning, morning after morning, I see new mercies. Great is his faithfulness. Therefore, I hope in him. He can place his confidence, his trust, and his hope in God because he is dependable. He is faithful. We come before him. We serve him. And we shout his praises because he is God. We enter his courts with thanksgiving and his gates with praise, and we give thanks to him and praise his name because he is good. He is God and he is good. And God is good all the time. He's dependable. It's an essential fact, it's an internal fact, it's an enduring fact. I like the way Stuart Hamblin put it. As he thought about God and his greatness, God as the creator who made us and we're not our own, he made us and we belong to him. As he thought about God who sent his son to die for us, he said, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, considering all the worlds your hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. I see your power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. And when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation to take me home, what joy will fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration, blessing his name, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. How great thou art. I think we should stand and sing that. Can I interrupt the band and just sing an a cappella? Can we all just stand and sing that? Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Father, we are so grateful for who you are, and we want to have a heart of gratitude. We have so much you have given to us. You've been so gracious, so kind, so merciful, so tender-hearted, so loyal in your love. You are good. You are God. And we belong to you. And you care for us. And so give us hearts of gratitude. Give us an attitude of gratitude. Give us hearts of praise to worship you. Give us a passion to come into your presence. Help us to live for you and love you and let Christ shine through us, so that our gratitude and our joy and our gladness will spill over on others, and they will be infected with this joy, this gratitude, this thankfulness. Or if they don't know you, they're going to want what we have. We pray this in the name of our dear Lord, our Savior, our Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen.